Hi, I'm Tara, and welcome to Let's Do Books. Friends, I'm excited because this week Chris Bryant is back. Chris is the author of 14 lesbian romance novels and novellas, many of which I love very much. The latest is Lucky, and it's out everywhere from Bold Strokes Books. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
So, we were talking, and while some people are still going out to beaches this summer, there are a lot of people that are feeling like maybe it's not a good idea to go to a beach. So we thought, what better than to talk about beach reads so that we can bring the beach experience to you? Can you share what you love about beach reads?
On a beach, I love being out in the sun or under an umbrella and just have a book there with me that's low angst, that's going to have a happy ending, that is doesn't require a lot of my attention so that I can still read it. And then I can like look up and enjoy the waves and like listen to people around me and still get into my book. That to me is just, it's kind of low angst. It's fun. It's flirty. I like it.
So what is the first book that you want to talk about?
I feel like we should be Colin and Ryan from Whose Line Is It Anyway when they're sitting there and they're talking about certain songs on certain albums. But I think I should be like, well, you can't talk about a beach read without mentioning Melissa Braden.
That's true.
My first book that I'm going to talk about as a perfect beach read is Melissa Braden's latest, which is titled Entangled. Okay. And I'm going to read you the synopsis or the blurb.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Josephine Wilder's torrid love affair is with Tangle Valley Vineyard, her family's legacy. She's grown up dreaming between the vines. She's always had a secret ideas about how to make the place shine. So when it passes to her, Joey vows to make Tangle Valley everything she knows it can be. Her biggest obstacle, that overly commercial hotel going up and the uppity manager trying to kill the vineyard's rustic charm. Becca Crawford loves to unwind with a good glass of wine. An astute businesswoman who has climbed the hospitality ladder, she's the perfect person to head up Elite Resort's newest property, the Jade Hotel, and give tourists all the luxury they desire. As a bonus, the Jade is not far from the cutest vineyard with the best Pinot she's ever tasted. If only the captivating owner would get on board with her plan and stop bad-mouthing the hotel to everyone in town. Is it possible that a nice glass of red could help Becca and Joey see each other in a new and alluring light?
So, I am like a quarter into this book.
Oh, so I can't ruin it for you.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't ruin it for anybody. Because I know. It's in your book. And so there will be some people who will have had a chance to read this, but by the time this comes out, and I will have read it. But what, maybe instead, can you share, like, what do you love about this one? What makes it that great beach read?
Okay, so the thing I love about Melissa's writing is it's like a fairy tale. You know, it's just, you jump into the story and the characters are people like your friends or friends you want to have, you know that you would connect with them right away. Like, oh my gosh, I would be best friends with Becca, you know, that kind of thing. And they're just fun and flirty and not really brooding. They're fun people. And so I really like that her characters are like friends, like you would be friends with them, you know, and the chemistry in this book is immediate. You know what's going to happen. You meet the characters, you know what's going to happen, and you think, I can't wait. You're shipping them. You're like, I can't wait for them to hook up. I can't wait for them to get together and start talking about feelings. And yeah.
I know. She's really good at that. And I think her series books especially are where the friendships always end up shining. Like, I think it still happens in other books in some ways. Like, Beautiful Dreamer is one of my favorites of hers, but it's a standalone. And so, like, while I really enjoy her friendships, or the friendships that Elizabeth has, I think especially, and even like Devon's relationship with her sister, it's not the same as like in the series where you get to see like that deep friendship as it continues across three or four books, and you see each of the friends kind of falling in love. And so I have to admit, I'm a little surprised that you didn't pick Sparks Like Ours, because that one literally happens on a beach.
it would have just been too on the nose. It would be, yeah, exactly. So I kind of wanted to do something different. Plus, you know, it was one of those that I just read, and I was like, okay, this is a perfect beach read. So
yeah, I get it. I and,
you're right about the friends. I mean, in this case, you get to meet the future two books that are going to follow. And I'm excited for the next one because it's Gabriella. It's the chef in this one. So, and she's perfect. So I'm thinking somehow Melissa needs to ship us together, like, so we could have a name, like, you know, I don't know, Chrisella or Gabris, you know, something like that. Because she's like, she is my person. She's my person. She's my person.
I mean, who doesn't love a good cook?
Right. And, you know, also, you know, this book wasn't just, it was fluffy, but it was really good because just when I thought like it was going to get resolved, everything was going to get resolved, like wham, something else happens. And then I'm like, and then wham, it happens. So, I mean, it was like three things that happened. I was really surprised because usually there's always like one thing, you know, you have the arc, the romantic arc, and there's always something that keeps characters together. And Melissa kind of keeps us going on the journey. So it was exciting, you know, to finish the whole book. It was, I liked it.
She does like to torture her characters, doesn't she?
She does. And she takes such pride in it, too. And I'm so sad. Sad that she does, because I love these people.
I'm trying to think if anybody likes to do it more than her and Anna Burke. I don't think so. I think it's like the two of them.
You know, the only other person I can think of off the top of my head is Elle Spencer. She likes to torture her people, too.
Yeah, I don't see her talking about it as much. But you're right. When I read her books, it's like, woof. Wow, that's rough. Like, that took a turn.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for my first book, I chose In Her Court by Tamsin Parker. And so I will read the blurb. Okay. Newly minted professor Evangeline Van Thompson's academic dreams have turned into nightmares. She can't wait to escape the pressure cooker of the university to spend the summer at Camp Firefly Falls with her bestie, Nate. Unfortunately, Nate breaks his leg halfway through the season, and his little sister Willa fills in for him as a resident tennis instructor. Van has fond memories of the blonde moppet, but when Willa shows up at camp, she's not so little anymore. She's grown into a bombshell and a menace on the tennis court. Why do those skirts have to be so short anyway? Willa Carter has had a crush on Van Thompson since the third grade, but Van's always been more interested in hanging out with Willa's older brother. Not much seems to have changed. Van's managing the camp's web presence while Willa rocks her tennis whites. Camp will be closing in a few weeks, and Van's barely spoken to Willa despite sharing a cabin. But when the two get thrown together to plan the last session of camp, s'mores might not be the only thing getting sticky and sweet before the season's out. Oh, that last line is kind of cheesy but hilarious. So I like it. There's a good chance that I've talked about this before on this podcast. I love this book, and when did I first read it? I think I first read it a couple of years ago, and it was one that, like, it didn't even come in for review or anything like that. I just sort of stumbled on it and was like, I don't know, this sounds kind of fun, and then it was like, I thought it was going to be kind of fun, and it was so much freaking fun. Like, it was just unbelievably fun. Yeah, so, I mean, they work at, it's not a summer camp for kids, like, they're actually working at an adult summer camp, and so it's the kind of, like, I think the idea is that companies with way too much money will take their employees on like corporate retreats, and then you'll go there for that kind of like adult summer camp experience. But the whole like falling for your best friend's little sister trope, perfection, and also Van is like the ultimate geek girl. So like she's staying at this camp, but she brought her like Wonder Woman stuff with her and her Star Wars stuff with her, because apparently Van Thompson doesn't travel without all of her geek stuff. And I also liked what the author did with Willa, because she's clearly always been underestimated because she's really pretty and she's athletic, and so people think that maybe she's not that smart, but she actually is super smart. And so I liked, I'm trying to think how to put this, like, but I like how she's like, fuck you, this is just like, no, I am a real actual adult, stop treating me like a kid, like I can do this, like just because you don't like being a professor doesn't mean that I'm not going to like being a professor. And so there's like a tiny bit of angst in this book. There's really not very much, because it's just so much about like celebrating geek culture and hanging out together in the summer and falling in love and a whole bunch of hot sex. And I will also say that If anybody's into audiobooks, I highly recommend the audio version of this because I listened to it almost a year after the first time I read it. I enjoyed it even more because Jill Smith has the best voice and is absolutely perfect for this story.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Yes. Go do it.
I'll take you to the beach whenever it opens again. Whenever I can get to the beach.
Someday. Yeah. Someday. I think you would like that one. Like, it's just... it's fun. It's not going to rip your heart out.
Good.
It's just super fun.
Yeah, I would totally love it.
So what's your next book?
So my next book, these are all kind of new books because I'm the person that I will read a book and then it kind of goes away from my memory. And mm-hmm. then I reread a lot because some things I don't know if my brain is too full of like 80s music or what it is, but I'm your person for any sort of lyrics you need for 80s music. I'm that girl. Mm-hmm. But like I'll read a book and then like 5 years later I'll read it again or 3 years later and it's like oh yeah, I kind of remember this. So for me it has to be fresh, and so I actually picked, I started The Roommate Arrangement before J1 or Goldie, so I feel yay, woo. So I started this book, and so that is my choice, my second choice for my beach read. Mm-hmm. And although Jay, you know, she's kind of notorious for having more, like she's got a lot, kind of a little bit of stuff going on in the books. I felt like the first half was like really easy breezy and fun. And then, you know, we find out more, it gets more in depth, more layers to it. So let me go ahead and read the synopsis and we'll go from there. So The Roommate Arrangement. A feisty comedian, a former cop with a wounded heart, an unusual roommate arrangement. Comedian Stephanie Renshaw hopes to finally get her big break in LA. A chance encounter lands her the perfect apartment close to the comedy clubs, but it comes with a catch. She needs a roommate to afford the rent. Enter Ray Coleman, a former police officer working the door at one of the top comedy clubs. After getting injured in line of duty and losing her job with the LAPD, Ray guards her wounded soul behind a tough exterior. At first, the two clash horribly before a tentative friendship develops. Bit by bit, Steph manages to break through the walls Ray has built around her. But Steph has never been in a relationship, preferring casual flings, and Ray isn't sure she's ready to be happy again. Will they find the courage to open themselves up to love?
Will they?
So, and here's the good thing. There's so many tropes that are going on there. There's the fake romance, which I know you love.
I do.
The fake romance. You love that. You love that. I do. You know, and then you have the brooding, dark character. That's, you know, Ray Coleman. And I actually really enjoyed her character a lot for so many reasons. And then you have the light, fluffy, Stephanie, who like doesn't really act like things bother her, but she has goals and I think she's really underestimated. So it's kind of interesting to watch the two of them, you know, first start off hating each other because it's like a love-hate thing, and mm-hmm. they end up, you know, kind of growing closer and closer together. So it was fun to watch their relationship grow on the, you know, on the page.
Would you say it counts as an enemies to lovers?
So it starts off where the comedian Stephanie, she's trying to get into the club, but Ray's kind of the bouncer and she won't let her in. She's like, I don't care who you are, you're not coming in. And so there's kind of like a clash right there. And then when she finds out that Ray's the one looking for the apartment, she's like, oh, hell no. You know, I can't live with this person. And Ray's like, oh, hell no, I can't live with this person. So it's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, they're kind of growly at each other. You know, like I said, Ray's real brooding and she's just snarly. And Stephanie's like, hey, you know, she's like, I was like a little poodle puppy running around, you know. And, but it's good to see their chemistry and the way they kind of start to become friends and then start to become more. It's a slow burn. It's a slow burn.
Oh, Jay likes slow burns.
Yeah, slow burn. I was starting to panic at the end. I was like, okay, slow burn. What? So
did you find, given that it was that slow of a burn, did you find the ending like satisfying?
It actually was, because they had a, you know, for a casual beach read, like I said, it started off really developing, you know, the storyline until you get deeper into the character. And then you're like, okay, it made more sense, you know, for the slow burn. But then at the same time, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want it to happen. You know, let's happen. So, but I think it worked well because they did have a lot to overcome, you know, to feel comfortable and trust one another.
Yeah. When I was reading Breaking Character when it first came out, the Lee Winter novel, I think that was the first place that I discovered that if there's anything better than a fake relationship, it's a hate to love fake relationship romance. Because Perfect. Then it's like there's so much more to overcome, because it's not just the, well, but this isn't real, they're just pretending, like that right. that kind of aspect of the fake relationship, which I like. But it's also like, oh my god, I hate you so much, why do I don't want to pretend this with you because you're such a dick right. or whatever it is,
right? And it's fun because everybody can see it but them, you know. It's one of those where everybody can see the writing on the wall but they refuse to believe it, you know, because Stephanie is a, she's like, I don't have time for a relationship, my career is everything, I only have time for, like, you know, flings, one night stands. And whereas Ray's the exact opposite. She just came out of a very long, I think it was 15-year relationship, you know? So she's like brokenhearted. She's like seriously broken in every aspect. And so she had a lot to overcome to get to the point to where she could have a relationship again. So.
All right. Well, it's, I have the audiobook waiting for me and I just need to finish another book or two and then it's going to be all mine.
That's good. Yeah, it's a good read. It's it was different from Melissa Braden because, you know, Jay is very, Jay has extremely flawed characters in a good way. And so I think that that kind of, I'm getting used to that now. So it was just, it was interesting. You know, this talks about disabilities. And so it was a good book to read because it did add an extra layer of depth to it that I wasn't expecting.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you for being an awesome listener and supporting Tilt, the channel that brings you all the podcasts you want to hear. You're listening to Tilt. Find more podcasts on thelesbiantalkshow.com.
So my next one is Once Ghosted, Twice Shy by Alyssa Cole, and it is a novella in her Reluctant Royals series. So most of the other books in the series are opposite sex pairings, but this one has two women. And you don't have to read any of the other ones. Like, it totally works as a standalone. Right. So the blurb is, while her boss, the prince, was busy wooing his betrothed, Lakotsi had her own love affair after swiping right on a dating app. But her romance had ended in heartbreak, and now, back in New York City again, she's determined to rediscover her joy. So of course she runs into the woman who broke her heart. When Lakotsi and Fabiola meet again on a stalled subway train months later, Fab asks for just one cup of tea. Lakotsi, hoping to know why she was unceremoniously dumped, agrees. Tea and food soon leads them to exploring the city together and their past, with Fab slowly revealing why she let Lakotsi go, and both of them wondering if they can turn this second chance into a happily ever after. So this book is, I would say, like, it's a little more angsty because it's a second chance story, but it's not like crazy angsty or anything like that. And it's kind of like a, it's more of a rich girl, poor girl one, because Lakotsi does work for a prince and she's, you know, gets quite a bit of wealth doing that. And Fab is not. But I really like the way this one is structured because we kind of get the story in two timelines. And also from two perspectives. So in the current timeline where Lakotsi is back in New York and she's, so her thing is like, she went back home to her fake country in Africa with her heart broken because, you know, having, because she really was ghosted. It was like, they had this amazing, I think they had like a week together or something like that. And then Fab just disappears, which just like, kicks her ass. Like, she's so heartbroken after that. And so she comes back to New York and she's like, but I love this city and I want to recapture this city. I want to be able to have a good relationship with it again. And of course, that's like as soon as she meets up with her again. And so we have the current timeline, which is told from Lakotsi's perspective. And then we have, and it alternates. So it's like the first chapter is her. And then the second chapter, it flips back to the past when they met the first time around. And we get it from Fabiola's perspective. And so it's this really lovely, like, we get to see both arcs and we see why she disappeared, and it makes total sense. And it's a, it is sad, but it makes sense and everything works out beautifully. And I just really liked it. Like, I thought it was just really, really well written. And the other thing I want to call out is that the cover for this, I think, is one of the best covers I've ever seen. It's so good. It is one that has like models on the cover. I mean, it was put out by Avon Impulse, so they have that sweet, sweet mainstream publishing marketing budget to go behind things.
Right.
But I heard that the couple on the cover is actually together.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's just lovely. And you can kind of just like see that chemistry there. And they totally look like what I imagine the characters would look like. And so it's just perfect. So yes, awesome. I recommend this one very much.
Yay.
And everybody listening, Chris and I decided we would actually make sure that we both had read a book together so that we could just fangirl about it, because
right.
I think that's kind of what we do best when we get together.
100% true.
So would you like to read the blurb or shall I?
You go ahead, because I don't have it pulled up.
That's a good reason.
That was the one thing I didn't do. I did everything else, but I didn't pull that one up.
No, that's okay. I am going to go ahead and apologize to the author, because I'm probably going to mispronounce their last name. But the book that we chose is Queer Leaders by M.B. Guel? I don't know. It's spelled G-U-E-L. Again, I'm sorry. I don't know. If I ever talk to you, I will ask you how it's pronounced. But the book Queer Leaders is awesome, and the blurb is, Mackenzie is used to being different from other kids and to being bullied for not fitting into the rigid social expectations of her Catholic high school. Luckily, Mac's best friend Lila has her back, so school isn't the total hell it could be, but it's pretty damn close. Until something very mysterious happens. Mac becomes a cheerleader magnet. Even she has a hard time believing it, and Lila is not too happy about her friend's sudden popularity with the cool kids. Is Mac being set up for an epic fail, or is she finally headed for acceptance and maybe even romance? I do want to call out that I have a bit of a problem with this blurb, because it's a bit of a lie. It's not something mysterious that happens that makes her become a cheerleader magnet. So Mac is outed as a lesbian in front of the whole school.
Right.
Only her best friend Lila knew. And Mac has had a huge crush on a cheerleader. What's her name again?
Veronica.
And Veronica's boyfriend is pissed off about it. And he outs her in front of everybody. And of course, his name is Chad. It's the perfect name for a douchebag that would out
exactly
a lesbian. And so Mac gets so mad that she makes this big declaration that she's going to steal all the football players' girlfriends.
All the cheerleaders. She's going to steal them all.
And then the cheerleaders start making out with her.
And it's great because the school has an anti-gay, it's a Catholic school, mm-hmm. I think. There's a father who tells them, you know, like pray away the gay. And it was, so that there's a big scene about where there's a school assembly and some of the teachers and the principal hears about that there might be a homosexual in their midst. So he calls this assembly and says it's a sin and people are going to get expelled if they're gay. And so that kind of like, that theme is throughout the whole book, and it's actually really sweet because one of the characters who happens to be a cheerleader, she has she makes this little, I guess it's a pin, friends of lesbian or LGBTQ, and it says, but only friends, definitely not gay group or something like that. So it's really cute, you know, how that age and everybody's trying to discover who they are, and high school sucks, and it's just, it's hard, and there's bullying, and even though there's anti-bullying now, it still exists. And so this book just, it was so much fun to read because it kind of reminded me of my youth, but then I could see this playing out as a movie, and it kind of had, like, I kept thinking of, like, the best friend Lila. She was very much, she's like sassy and you know, she's in your face. She reminded me of kind of like a Winona Earp character, like her, like Winona Earp herself, because she has all these great lines that she says. Like, what did she say? I actually wrote down two quotes that I thought were pretty hilarious. She says, I bet you like Veronica's twits all up at your tweeter. I laughed aloud several times in this book, you know, and the other one was, eat a spicy dick is what she says to, Lila says to Chad. Perfect. You know, I wish I had that, or a best friend that would stand up for me like that, you know, when I was in high school. So,
oh yeah, we all need a Lila.
Great character. Great side character.
I like the banter that she and Mac had. Like, they had really solid banter. And I think one of my favorite Lila quotes, which I do actually have ready, is right after Mac is outed and she takes off and she starts, like, speed walking down the hall just to get out of there. And Lila says, like, what are you doing? And Mac says that she's running away from her problems. She says, don't you think actual running is required for that? And Mac says, okay, you know, running in the halls is against school policy. So Lila says, okay, well, stop power walking. You're giving me flashbacks of when my mom joined that Oprah exercise club.
The dialogue is so perfect in this book. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Did you find yourself playing lesbian cliche bingo at all?
I did not, but I thought it was very, very clever.
I thought so too. So it would bring up stuff about, like, golf and Kristen Stewart.
Oh, yeah. Like, her mom, so her mom has this great quote about how, I think it's her mom, about, like, nobody Googles Kristen Stewart and rescue puppies more. You know, we knew. So it's just, but yeah, there's some really great lines in this book. It's just so good. It made me laugh out loud a lot. And, truly, this is a great beach read because it is very low angst, but we've all been there. We've either seen it or been through it ourselves. So it was very identifiable.
Yeah, I agree. I will say, without saying what it was, I was shocked by the twist. Did you see it coming?
Yes! No! I thought for sure that was going to be it. You know, I was like, oh yeah, this is like every after school, you know, program. And then it didn't. I was like, what? So yes, I did not see that coming, the twist.
I co-reviewed this at Smart Bitches Trashy Books with Carrie S, and she had read it and I had not, like, because she read it before I did. And so when I got to that point, I slacked her and was like, oh my god, all caps, like, what is happening? Because I'm not used to being surprised in romances anymore. And so when I am surprised, it's like, oh, very good.
I feel the same way. Yes. Mm-hmm. If they get me, it's like, oh, bravo, bravo.
And I think I also liked, which is something that works super well in YA romance, but would make somebody just be like a complete train wreck in an adult romance, is we actually watch Mac try to, like, navigate people's feelings. Like, there's something very heady about the fact that she goes from being a nobody to, like, all the cheerleaders are making out with her. Mm-hmm. And there's actual consequences for her behavior sometimes. And so I really liked seeing that, like, just how she, like, her ego just starts to inflate. And then it's like, what do you do with that when you actually start to hurt people? And it is kind of part of that, like, you're a teenager and you're figuring out who you are and who you're going to be as a grown up.
Yeah, I thought it was very realistic. I mean, because that's kind of what happens when you become more popular, you have more responsibility, you know, and some kids can't handle that. And some kids handle it poorly. So I really, I felt that.
Yeah. It's just a good one. Everybody go read this book. You're going to have fun. You're going to love it, whether you're on a beach or you're at home.
And it's a quick read, you know, it's not going to take up your whole day. And it, you know what, actually, what it encouraged me to do, plus a couple of other things going on, I started watching Glee again. And this has nothing to do with singing. It was just kind of like cheerleaders, high school, gay, Glee. Like, that was, you know, that was kind of, so I started watching that again.
Very good. I think that is all for this episode. Where can people find you if they want to connect with you online?
If they want to connect with me, Facebook, Twitter, at Chris Bryant 2014. I don't even know anything else. I don't know, like, my handle, chrisbryantbooks@gmail.com, and I'm on the BSB Bolterix Books website. Yeah, I'm out there. You can find me. I'm pretty loud.
Thank you so much for joining me. This was so much fun.
I had so much fun. Thank you for having me again. I missed this.
I'm Tara, and you've been listening to Les Do Books. You can email me at tara@thelesbianreview.com with your questions or comments. If you're an author who's interested in joining me on the show to talk about the lesfic you love or the trends that have you interested, please let me know. If you've enjoyed this episode, please check out the show notes where you'll find a Patreon link for Tilt, or visit patreon.com/thelesbiantalkshow. Our patrons get exclusive content like bonus podcasts that no one else gets access to. To find this and many other great shows, all you need to do is search for Tilt, spelled T-L-T, on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or Spotify.